This is a podcast from Minute Media.
You are listening to the One Good Scare podcast with Natalie Zamora and Max Mello.
Hey everyone, welcome back to a new episode of the One Good Scare podcast. I'm Natalie Zamora, joined by Max Mello, per usual, and we're now into the holiday season. I guess we have been for like a month now, but we are today going to talk about a Christmas horror movie that we both enjoy, which is called Better Watch Out.
Yeah, it's a movie that I think a lot of people might not have heard of.
Yeah.
It definitely was a smaller release. It was on, I think, both of our lists last year when it was like best movies to stream at the end of the year. But I watched it with my girlfriend about a month ago, and she really enjoyed it. It's definitely like a sleeper hit. Like when it comes to like coming across some streaming, it's like, do I watch this? Do I not? It's worth it. It's not too long. It's really fun. It's like just under an hour and a half. There's some good laughs to be had, and some of the characters just make you want to rip your skin off because they're so good, but also like so annoying.
Yes.
But yeah, it's a fun movie. You watched it for you. This is your second time rewatching it, right? That you just saw it.
Yeah. I watched it for the first time last year. I think I had heard of it, but I didn't know really anything about it. And yeah, I really enjoyed it. Like you said, quick runtime. A lot of action throughout. And yeah, it's a good Christmas horror movie.
Yeah, it doesn't really waste any time. It gets right into it. The plot is very much set out. There are your twists and turns along the way. And then I think the ending is pretty fulfilling overall.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's, like I mentioned, it came out in 2016. It's classified as like a psychological horror film. Can't talk today.
We're
recording this earlier in the day. Usually I've had a Red Bull in my system. I'm good to go. Words aren't difficult. It was directed by Chris Peckover from a script that he co-wrote with Zach Kahn, and it stars Olivia DeJonge, Levi Miller, and Ed Oxenbold. And when watching it with my girlfriend, she mentioned that a lot of the actors in it also were in M. Night Shyamalan's The Visit.
The Visit, yes.
Yeah, so you noticed that too.
Yeah, was it just Olivia DeJonge and Ed Oxenbold? Was there more than just them two? Okay, yeah, because they played brother and sister in The Visit. I actually had to just confirm that this morning because I was like, wait a second, I've seen them in another movie before. But yeah, interesting.
Yeah, so I haven't seen that movie yet, but I definitely should. I've heard
it's one of
his, I don't want to say better ones. Like, I feel like Shyamalan's movies, like you have the top tier ones, like Sixth Sense, Signs.
Yeah.
And then from there on out, it's like, or The Village also.
Mm-hmm.
After that, it's like, take your pick. But there's also some familiar faces. If you guys don't recognize those three names, who they're our main characters. We follow them primarily for the big portion of the film. Dacre Montgomery, who of course everyone should know from Stranger Things. Patrick Warburton, who you're like, why does that guy's voice sound so familiar? Well, from your childhood, he voiced a Joe in Family Guy, which is where like I always knew him from. But a very popular actor. And also Virginia Madsen is in it, who plays Deandra Lerner, which is Luke's mom. And obviously Patrick Warburton plays Robert, his dad. And they're in the film for like 10 minutes combined. Yeah, 10 seconds, 10 minutes, if that. But it's like fun when you're watching these types of movies and it's like, oh, I know them. And then they're like gone and you're like, wait, come back.
Yeah. I know. I remember I was so surprised seeing especially Virginia Madsen in this just because she's a huge actress and she doesn't have a lot of screen time, but pretty awesome, especially because this director, I think he only had one movie before this. So pretty cool.
Yeah. If you want to watch this movie, it is available to stream for free on Amazon Prime. Go ahead and check it out if you want to watch it before listening to our review of it. It is more of a shorter movie, so this is going to be a little bit of a shorter episode. But, unfortunately, there's no weekly Horrors Roundup today. But we can confirm that the last two episodes that we're going to do for the year We do our favorite movies, of course, of the entire year. We have to do our year in review. And then probably like a look ahead to 2022 and what we're most excited for, and just discussing what's been announced and what we can't wait to see. Like Spider-Man No Way Home. Did you get your tickets?
I did not. I do want to watch it. I actually do want to, but might be in a few weeks or so.
Yeah, I need to see it. I haven't gotten my tickets. I wasn't so like, gotta get my tickets for this. I love Spider-Man as a character. Tom Holland seems great. I just, it's like, I'll go see it. Like, Infinity War and Endgame is like, I need my tickets. Midnight showing, that's when I'm going. This, it's being hyped up and I'm so excited for it, but I'm not like, I gotta go see it Thursday. I'm gonna try to see it Thursday. We'll see.
But if not, you'll survive.
Yeah, exactly. But that's not what we're talking about here on this podcast. We're a horror movie podcast. Superheroes stink! So let's get into Better Watch Out. Like I mentioned, came out in 2016. It premiered at Fantastic Fest on September 22nd of 2016, and then was eventually released in the U.S. In 2017. The movie has an 89% approval rating on Rotten Tomatoes, which, for all those people out there who want to care so much about their tomato approval, I mean, their freshness of their tomatoes. There's that. It's got an average rating of 6.9, which I don't feel is fair. Like, this is one of my favorite Christmas movies to watch. And obviously, it's a very niche Christmas movie. It's not like Home Alone or Christmas with the Cranks or Jingle All the Way or any of those types of movies. It's a horror movie. Like, it just happens to be taking place during Christmas. But, yeah, it's... it's a fun story. I'm excited to talk about it. And yeah, when you came across this film, did I tell you about it for the first time last year and then you watched it?
I think so, yeah.
Okay. So what was your first, did you expect this movie to take the kind of twist that it does? Because there's a huge twist halfway through the movie.
No, absolutely not. And I think that's what makes this movie so good, is that who you're rooting for in the beginning is who you absolutely hate by the end. And that's awesome. It really does subvert your expectations. So no, I had no idea what was actually going to happen.
Great. And that's how everyone should go into this movie, watching it. So again, if you haven't seen it, pause this, go watch the movie and then come back. All right. So the movie opens up. Obviously it is Christmas time in town. The movie's shot in Australia. It obviously doesn't take place in Australia.
I don't think it's supposed to,
But we are introduced to our 12-year-old protagonist, I say, in quotation marks.
Right.
Like I said, go watch the movie before listening to this. And Luke, played by Levi Miller, is staying home while his parents go out for the weekend to get away from the house to go do some kind of hotel thing or something. And of course, since he's 12 years old, he has a babysitter, which he, for him is a point of contention. It's like, do I need a babysitter? I don't know. I think I'm old enough. I'm mature enough. And you definitely get a superiority complex, or is it a, superiority complex that comes into his mind when it comes to like, I'm older than 12 years old. I'm more mature than I am. Type of feeling from the get-go. But then you're introduced to his babysitter, which is 17-year-old Ashley, who's played by Olivia De Jong, who is amazing in this movie. And so is Levi. All the, seven characters, really. And they're all awesome. They all do their role to the best that they possibly could with the amount of screen time that they're each given. But, very early on... Patrick Warburton's character, when we kind of fast forward and they're leaving and they're getting set up to hang out for the night, Ashley and Luke, Patrick's character is a little weird. He's like, you look great, and it comes off a little creepy.
Yeah, definitely. And I think just right off the bat, I mean, the first few scenes, it's just setting up like, all right, this is just your classic teenage babysitter watching over the kid. The kid probably has a crush on her, and there's going to be like a home invasion or something.
Right. Very much like The Babysitter on Netflix, which you hate. You hate that movie. But if you've seen that movie, you'll kind of get that type of vibe from this one. And you immediately get the vibe that Luke either is like a spoiled brat, or like he thinks he's older than he is. He thinks mm-hmm. he's more mature than he is for his age and all that type of stuff. And he has a huge crush on Ashley and is trying to figure out tonight how he can kiss her and be with her and all this type of stuff. Despite the big 5-year age difference between the two, he's 12 years old. He's not a teenager yet. And she's 17 and she has a boyfriend and she's also getting ready to leave town and move out. So she's having this whole kind of issue with her current boyfriend who she's breaking up with named Ricky. Mm-hmm. And that becomes a whole big plot point later on in the film. But, he tries to put on the moves.
Yeah.
Which are, it's like really weird.
It's really awkward. It is awkward because it's like in the beginning, I am rooting for him because he does seem kind of like a brat, but at the same time, like he's a cute young kid. Like he seems harmless at this point. And it's just, it is awkward when he's trying to get drunk and like seduce her. And she's like, you're 12 years old. Why are you chugging wine or whatever he was trying to drink? And he's just like, yeah, I'm cool. This is what I do. And I'm like, oh man, you're cute, but I can't look. This is too cringe.
Yeah. But it does such a great job at like setting the scene as well.
Yeah.
Talking about like smoking weed and all that type of stuff and just trying to act tough for her.
And she doesn't care.
Yeah. And she's like, okay, cool. Like, again, we've known each other for a long time. You're 12 years old and I'm 17. So this is wildly inappropriate to begin with. A big point of this as well is that Garrett, who's played by Ed Oxenbold, is Luke's best friend. Was around the house in the beginning of the movie, but is kind of absent towards this first kind of big plot point. Because as Luke is trying to make advances on her... things start to kind of go a little weird in the house. You know, there's some banging, some things appearing outside and kind of unsure exactly what is going on. And Luke is trying to be the tough guy. He's trying to like, you know, set the scene of like, I'll protect you. I got you. Don't worry. I'm 12 years old. I feel like I have to keep hammering the point home that he's 12 years old because it's very important.
Yeah. And he looks very young, even though he's trying to act older. He looks like a child.
Yeah, I don't know how old... He's 19 now. He was born in 2002. So when this movie was filmed, he was 14. Or when it premiered. Yeah, he looks younger. The best part about it is that it feels so authentic. Like, his voice cracks in moments.
Yeah.
And just, like, gives this overall vibe to being the young 12-year-old kid in this situation. That's a trope, like, kid having a crush on his babysitter.
Yeah.
That's been in movies and TV forever. So it's definitely a believable scene that's going on. Mm-hmm. But throughout the film, your mind is still like, okay, you're 12 years old. Like,
shut up.
Right. So as things start to go wrong, one of the big things that ends up going down is... people appearing, like, figures, I'll say, appearing in, like, windows, like, behind curtains and stuff like that, and trying to figure out what's going on. And all of these occurrences end up with Garrett jumping into the house and kind of, like, faking an attack on Luke, trying to scare them because, you know, they're trying to work together to get Ashley to be impressed by Luke being such a big man and saving the day and being older than he is at 12. But that... you know, just ends up pissing Ashley off even more because, again, these are two 12-year-olds, we're assuming. We don't know Garrett's exact age, but I'm assuming he's around 12, 13, 11. And she's like, this is really immature. Why are two 12-year-olds trying to do this to impress me? It's just annoying me. And she has all the other stress going on with Ricky and just being kind of, like, spooked by what's going on before that.
Yeah. And then, so I guess up until this point, it does seem kind of like, I guess, innocent fun on the line of not really being innocent because it's just annoying. But it seems like they are just kind of kidding around. And like you said, Ashley's kind of just fed up with it. But then things take a turn, one of the first turns, and it legitimately seems like there is a stalker or murderer outside.
Yeah, there is a brick that gets thrown through.
Yeah.
a window upstairs. And on the brick, it reads, "You leave and you die." And it looks like a child wrote it, which is funny.
Yeah.
But, you know, the movie very early on plays with the idea of, like, what is actually happening and what is not actually happening. Mm-hmm. And it can seem a little jarring at first, I think, for viewers, because everything kind of happens very fast. It is really fast,
yeah.
It is a short movie.
Yeah.
But if you buy into it, I think everyone will enjoy it. And, yeah, that sends our trio into a mass panic because there's a brick
there. Now it's real.
Yeah, there's a brick thrown through a window saying, if you leave the house, you are dead. To which Garrett says, okay, cool, I'm going to leave. And he sprints out the back door and appears to be shot and killed, which at this point in the movie, a massive turn from trying to impress the babysitter to a threatening brick to, oh, they just shot a 12-year-old.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think there's like two or three really big turns in this movie. Three, I guess. This one and then coming up, of course. But yeah, I remember. So everything that kind of happens in the next few minutes, of course, Ashley and Luke are reacting to the fact that Garrett seemingly was just shot and killed. And now there's, you know, actually a murderer outside. So they're freaking out and they kind of have to run upstairs. They run up to the attic. And I remember watching this and I'm on the edge of my seat. Because I'm like, what the hell just happened? I'm thinking these are just like 12-year-old kids messing around. But apparently, no, my first instinct was right. And it is a home invasion. And the action is really good. And like you said, it's really fast paced. So it doesn't let you breathe at all. And they run up and they hide in the attic. And then I think Ashley was like trying to climb up and she almost falls. And Luke is there to catch her, of course, convenient.
So but dreamy.
It's just like, yeah, exactly. But it's just like, so it really is on the edge of your seat suspense. It's really good, this part.
Yeah. Yeah, she ends up going to the attic and there's like spiders up there.
Yeah.
And she falls through
door. She falls, yeah.
Which is like, holy crap. Like, if Luke wasn't there to break her fall, she probably breaks her neck.
Die, yeah.
And it's really bad. But yeah, at this point, it's like, okay, this is almost too good to be true. Like, with these kids still messing around, something's actually happening. And as the viewer, you're like, what could actually be happening that is convincing that in the end, it's like, okay, is like the boyfriend that Ashley is breaking up with going on a mass murder spree? And that's what this movie is about? It seems a little suspicious, but it's also like believable because you're like, okay, something is going on. Mm-hmm. So yeah, Luke ends up being like, okay, you know what? I'm going to go get the gun from my parents' bedroom and I'm going to save the day. Me, 12-year-old, going to go shoot a home invader. And, you know, it, whatever. The plan is the plan. You know?
At this point, it's like, okay, sure. Like, they're in a desperate state, even though Luke looks ridiculous. Like, if there actually is a murderer out there, sure, go ahead. That's what's happening.
Right. So they end up, they both end up sprinting out of, I believe it's like the laundry closet, which has the attic door.
The door.
Right. And they end up going into Luke's bedroom, and they're hiding in his closet. And it's one of those closets that has the, I don't know how to describe them.
I know, yeah.
They're like shutters, but they're
not
shutters.
It's like the Halloween one, yeah.
Right.
I know.
What is the type
of
wood?
It's a classic horror movie.
Closet.
Closet, yeah. Where you can see out.
Exactly, because why would you do a closet where you can't see throughout the door? Because then what is the person in the closet seeing? But, yeah, while that's going on, they're both in the closet like, okay, well, this is it. We're going to die because there's an armed intruder with a shotgun, no less. Kind of snooping around, trying to figure out what's going on. And they're like, is someone trying to rob the house? Like, the viewer doesn't have any idea what's going on. The kids don't have any idea what's going on. But Luke is still hell-bent on this hero play of, I'm going to shoot the home invader. But as this all is happening, and again, this is why I say you should watch the movie before listening to this.
Oh, yeah.
it is yet again another twist because in the closet, right, Ashley sees the person and realizes that it's Garrett under the mask with a shotgun. And first of all, very big brain play here from Ashley. Because, like,
if she
was wrong, boom, dead, end of story. Like, Luke, like, you fucked up. Like, you let the girl of your dreams die. That's it. That's
right.
The end of it. But her suspicions are right. She rips off the mask of the person, and it's Garrett with the shotgun. So Garrett has not been shot outside of the house.
No.
Because it is revealed later on that it was a paintball gun that shot him. And he did some kind of crazy movie stunt to dive behind the pile of snow.
Year old kid too.
Right. With blood that just, you know, whatever. It's a movie. And at this point, it's the double twist of this was part of Luke's whole big plan.
Yeah.
And Ashley has cut a giant hole in it because she realized that it was Garrett playing this home invader with a shotgun. I wasn't expecting this first viewing, and it's a crazy twist because what comes after that, like 5 minutes later, is yet another huge twist. And this movie is great because it's just twist after twist after twist.
Yes, I agree. And this is when I first started my hatred of Luke.
Yeah, what does he do?
This is when it's starting. I'm like, okay, you have a crush on your babysitter. Normal, fine. You try to act tough to like her. Normal, fine. You staged a home invasion with actual guns. Well, one actual gun. No, not normal. Not fine. Completely, completely psycho. And therapy, please.
Yeah. Very, very questionable decisions here from young Luke and Garrett as well, just going along with it.
Going along with it, yeah.
It seems like there's some kind of toxic relationship there between the two of them. Which comes out later in the film. But Ashley, rightfully so, has the perfect reaction and is like, you're crazy. You need therapy. Like, I'm leaving. I'm calling your parents. This is over. And Luke starts to follow after her. And they're on the second floor at this point, and they have this big winding staircase in their house. Because it seems like he comes for money and their parents have money.
Yeah.
They live in a nice neighborhood.
It's a nice house,
And as she's walking to the stairs, he's screaming at her with his crackly voice, which I find so funny and authentic, and it's great.
Yeah, it is really funny.
Is like, Ashley, and she turns around, and he slaps her across the face.
Hard.
Really hard. And she ends up falling down the stairs in a very brutal stunt for whoever did that.
Yeah.
And she falls unconscious. So we've gone from a fake home invader to another fake home invader to now straight up assault.
Yeah, an actual evil person. So it's a lot. And this happens really, really fast. And like we keep saying, the next few parts, just everything happens really, really fast. So this, I guess, is one of the biggest turns, twists in the movie, is that Luke is actually has bad intentions. He's not trying to just be cool. So let's take our first break and then we'll get all into what he does next, because it does not get better from here. All right. So like you said, Ashley falls down the stairs because Luke slaps the shit out of her. And when she wakes up, she's duct taped to a chair. And this is when I'm like, holy crap, he's gonna like accidentally kill her or something.
Yeah. It seems like he's operating on a whole new plan and he's kind of just going off the cuff with what he's doing, because he, as you know, the very brash and braggadocious guy that he is, he thought, oh, you know, this plan will work and she will fall into my arms and she will be in love with me because I saved the home invader. Also, like, we never saw it happen. Like, was he wearing a bulletproof vest to, like, stop a potential shot? Or was he going to wrestle the shotgun away? Or was it, like, again,
a 12-year-old plan.
Yeah, exactly. Which is great, because that's what it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
And at that point, then he really snaps to full up, just like, okay, Plans out the window. I'm running the show now. I'm actually sick and twisted in the head.
Mm-hmm.
They end up playing like Truth or Dare, which is like a very 12-year-old thing.
Yeah.
You know, to do, I guess. And, you know, it gets very creepy at this point about like kissing and
like,
and,
yeah, making out.
Yeah. Very childish type of stuff. But yeah. Again, it feels authentic to the movie, which is great.
Right. Yeah. Definitely.
And the first thorn in the side of the new plan that I will say, because this is where, like, this is the new arc of the movie. They had the two mm-hmm. plans, the plan, or they had the plan, which was very elaborate to begin with. Like, we're going to fake a home invader, and then we're going to fake a home invader. I'm like,
yeah.
Oh, okay, cool. But this is the new plan, and this is Luke doing whatever he thinks is the right.
Going off the rails.
Yeah, full on batshit crazy. And the first thorn in the side is Ricky, who is Ashley's boyfriend, ex-boyfriend.
You know, on and off, yeah.
Very up in the air because she's obviously moving away and it doesn't seem like they're going to want to do long distance and stuff like that. But Ricky is, you know, heartbroken. He's torn about the situation. He doesn't want to lose her and that stuff like that. We're not really given too much of, like, is he a bad boyfriend? Is he not a bad boyfriend?
Yeah.
We're pretty much told Jeremy, who's played by Dacre Montgomery, who we meet later on, his character, we'll get into it. His character is hilarious.
I know.
But Ricky shows up and he has a conversation with Garrett and he's like, I got these flowers for her. Like, you know, and Garrett's like, sorry, man. Like, you can't come in. I don't know. You can't come in. He's like, well, okay. Can you like, please open the door so I can like give her the flowers? And Garrett's like, okay. Yeah, sure. That's fine. And he opens the door. And of course, Ricky pushes
he
the door.
Runs in. Yeah.
Right, because he's 17, a grown a more grown man than Garrett is, who again is 12 years old, mm-hmm. and they're trying to hide the situation going on of Ashley being tied up with duct tape and being held against her will, essentially, and guns and all that type of stuff going on around the house, which is it's a crazy situation.
Yeah.
But this is where shit, like, you don't know how much shit can hit the fan before, like, shit really hits the fan for Luke, because it seems to all kind of keep working out for him in this crazy situation.
I know. And it's like, you don't really suspect or predict just how far Luke is going to go. Even though we know he is a troubled child, he's a child. Like, how does he even know to do these things? How does he have the balls to do it? Like, when Ricky comes and Ashley's, like, on, she's in the chair and she's, like, trying to make noise and she purposely, like, falls over in the chair. So Ricky will hear her and I'm like, oh my God, just go in there. And the kids are like, no, just don't go in there. And he's just like, why not? And I'm like, damn, if you only knew, you would just barge right in there. But you don't suspect 12-year-olds to do these things.
Right. It gets very...
Which is so good.
Yeah. I love, like, the naivety a bit of it.
Yeah.
How naive some characters are to the whole situation. And it definitely feels like two 12-year-olds trying to hide a very bad idea that they have done.
Yep.
Which is awesome. But, yeah, it ends up turning into a scuffle between Luke, Garrett, and Ricky. Luke tries to knock him out, but kind of fails big time.
Yeah.
And that leads... to Garrett getting the shotgun and threatening Luke, or somebody.
Threatening Ricky yeah.
Luke, Garrett, and Ricky.
Too many names.
Yeah. And at that point, I'm like, okay, are you actually going to shoot this guy? Or are you just using this shotgun as, like, is it loaded? Is it just a threatening tool? One way or the other, a shotgun is very threatening. So
yeah.
They end up getting the upper hand on Ricky, knocking him out. Gets stabbed in the jaw with a pencil, which is like the first part of like gore in this movie, and it's like, it's not super intense, but
yeah.
It's gross.
Ew. Yeah.
It's gross, and something that's very like it's kind of practical. Like, you could totally see that happening.
Yeah, right.
As like an accident, like as a kid, I jumped on on my bed and there was a pencil on it, and then the pencil ended up going into my leg. And it was
oh
like,
no!
It wasn't that as graphic. Led. As what happens to Ricky's face. But, you know, there's some dark humor involved in it as well because they end up tying up Ricky and they want to make him smoke a joint. And as he's smoking the joint and he goes to exhale, even though he doesn't want to, The smoke goes out of the hole in his mouth, which is really, like, stupid, but it's funny.
It is. It is. It's messed up, but it's just another kind of, like, element to the situation, which is already ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah, so with these two now tied up, it's, again, the plan, there's more shit hitting the fan, and the fan just keeps spinning. The fan will not stop spinning, and there's shit everywhere, but... God forbid Luke is going to let go of this fan. He's going to hold on, and he's going to make sure that this plan gets seen out to whatever conclusion it's coming to. Ashley tries to, like, free herself with a piece of glass, and, you know, Ricky tries to run interference and stuff like that, and they're trying to escape.
Yeah.
And she ends up being able to free herself, but, you know, there's starting to be some doubt sowed into Garrett's mind, because he's like, hey, this is...
This is a little messed up.
Yeah, just a little. You know, we've kidnapped two people at this point, holding them hostage, and we don't really know what's going on. And I love just how Luke, again, is wearing these, like, preppy clothes, 12 years old, waving around this pistol, just, like, thinking he's got everything under control.
He's a demon child. And I think, like, a few scenes ago is when I start just yelling at the TV, because he is so obnoxious and evil, and... It's really just so funny, because you wouldn't, like, I will say this a million times, but you don't expect a small child like this to be so evil.
Yeah. And again, as Luke is still starting to do more, like, evil mastermind things.
Yeah.
Setting up situations, like calling people and trying to figure things out. And we'll kind of talk about all the big things that he did in the end.
Yeah.
Without having to go back to them. But, like, if you think this kid... has it all mapped out? He might. Like,
you think so?
At least in the first plan, he had everything.
Yeah.
Which is, like, sick and twisted in his head.
But
where this all leads to, and this is the point, like, they've done really bad things. They're, like, very, very bad things that they could go to jail for, or at least juvie.
Right.
But. This is where it's like, okay, cool. Like, you gotta die. But not really. Like, you know, that point in the movie where, like, there's no coming back from this. And tying up Ashley is definitely a point to be like, there's no coming, like, you're screwing up. Like, maybe you could have a point of, like, I messed up. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I think, from tying someone up and staging a home invasion, it's like juvie, maybe therapy. You can work through it. But the next part, it's jail for life and never again.
Exactly. And we're not trying to justify his actions whatsoever. But this next part is just hilarious, because his whole mental state is really explained here when they pull Ricky into the main entryway of the foyer?
Foyer, yeah.
Yeah, there we go. We might not know what closets are called, but we do got the foyer part of the house down. And Ricky's sitting there with the hole in his mouth. And all of a sudden, a paint can starts to fly about. And you're like, what the heck is going on? And if you're a big Christmas... Like, this is, like, the most Christmas part of the movie. Because Garrett's trying to figure out what Luke is doing. And Luke is like, we're going to see if you actually hit someone in the head with the paint can, they die. Like in Home Alone. And Garrett's like, you're going to Home Alone him? I'm like, no, don't do that. The paint can is swinging back and forth. And they're trying to, like, talk him off the ledge of doing this, essentially.
Yeah.
But eventually, the paint can flies down, hits him square in the face, and kills him. And there's this awesome shot of the yellow paint mixing with the blood.
Yeah.
From Ricky, which is awesome. Love that shot. Really good kill in a horror movie. But that's it, dude. You're fucked. Like, time's up.
It's crazy. It's really crazy, because I feel like, of course, you and I are huge horror fans, and we're able to separate, you know, kills in a movie are much different than reality. You know, like, we can watch violence in movies, but we don't condone violence in real life. And this is something where it's like kids watch movies and they think it's, like, real. Like, watching Home Alone, Kevin does the same thing, and obviously he doesn't die because it's a movie and that's just what happens in a kid's movie. But in this, it's like, oh, well, we could just do that in real life, right? No, it's much different in real life, even though this is a movie as well. But you know what I mean.
Yeah, and he definitely had intentions of killing him, even though he wasn't sure. It was definitely a science experiment in his
experiment,
head.
Yeah.
But like it's while that so was, messed up. He you definitely because Ashley ends up breaking free from cutting the tape off her hands with the shard of glass, and she grabs the gun and starts to threaten him, and he's like, oh, okay. Whatever. And he throws the paint can and hits him in the face. And he's like, did you see that? That was so cool. And it's like, dude. Like,
so messed up.
Like, what? Like, something's got to happen to you. Like, time's up.
Yeah. Like, this is not a joke. You just killed someone and they're not coming back. This isn't a movie.
Right. And yeah. At that point, Ashley's like, okay. Well, I have a gun.
I got to go.
And turns out the gun is empty. Which you can't expect because there's no way that this kid at this point would have loaded both guns.
Yeah.
Or at least the gun that he had because whatever. And yeah, she tries to run outside and there's been this ongoing thing of carolers outside the house trying to, you know, keep up the Christmas spirit.
Spread cheer.
Yeah. You know, singing loud for all to hear. Buddy the Elf and all that good stuff. But, yeah, she tries to alert the carolers, and of course the carolers are not going to hear them or hear her because...
Yeah, they're singing.
Yeah, she's not going to hear... They're not going to hear anything going on, really. They're not going to hear Luke, Garrett, or Ashley. But Ashley is obviously the one screaming for help. And, yeah, why would you hear someone screaming over, jingle bells, jingle bells? and then... this is, again, a part of, like, dude, what the fuck? Because he throws a brick at Ashley's head. And that knocks her out.
Yeah, that easily could have killed her.
Right. Ugh. Just so much going on.
So much yelling at the TV.
For this little shithead. but yeah, she's knocked out once again. She's tied up again. She's been recaptured, essentially. Yeah. And then the next part goes into play because she's... Luke, who again is just... in love with this girl to a not healthy, most not healthy
right.
extreme,
yeah.
is now going to target the other boyfriend, ex-boyfriend, definitely ex-boyfriend at this point, mm-hmm. Which is Jeremy, who's played by, is it Dacre or is it Dacre?
I feel like I go back and forth between Dacre and Dacre. I think he says Dacre, but then he also has an accent. So,
Mr. Montgomery.
Yeah.
Billy.
Billy.
As I'm sure everyone knows him by, since he was in Stranger Things. But yeah, next on the target list is Jeremy, who is played by Mr. Montgomery. And he explains to Jeremy that Ashley wants an apology letter. And enter Jeremy, who is just like stereotypical, like...
Bro,
ex-boyfriend, just was with her to be with her for whatever personal gain. And he's wearing, like, backwards hat, like, flat-brimmed hat, just, like, funky clothes, like super designer clothes I think he's wearing. But, you know, he just rolls up, and he's, like, he's just like, Ashley, I'm sorry. He's trying to figure out how to apologize to her. It's so good that he's just in this role for like 8 minutes in the film. And it's so believable that Luke, who again is this grade A shithead, is manipulating him. But you don't know how he's manipulating him until the end of the movie, which is genius to an extent, but it's also so fucked up because he is this little shithead. This movie could have been called Little Shithead, and I would have been totally okay with it. But yeah, so she wants him he wants him to write the apology letter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it is really funny. Like you said, there is some comedic like relief in this movie a little bit, but definitely Jeremy is one of those. He's definitely just not a smart guy. Doesn't seem like you said, he's like practicing what he's gonna say. He's like giving himself like a little pep talk, and you just know it's gonna be something really bad because Ashley is very smart, I would say, and Luke was able to manipulate her. So Jeremy, who has no idea what's going on, you know he's about to get killed.
Yeah, and you feel really bad for him too because you like
yeah
he has no clue what's coming. And Luke obviously wants the letter to be thought out and well read to whoever reads it. It has to be convincing, right? And why does it need to be convincing? Because he starts with Ashley. I'm sorry, Jeremy. Which is like okay, like for his character, sure. Like maybe that's all he wanted to write. But Luke's master grand plan here is to make Jeremy's letter appear like a suicide note or a murder suicide note, which. Very again, why does this go through the head of a 12-year-old?
No, who thinks this?
Exactly. So as he's done writing the letter, Luke starts to drive a lawnmower, which is tied to a noose, and ends up hanging Jeremy. And he dies there, hung from the tree, which is a startling scene.
Yeah, it is.
And the most graphic one of the bunch so far, like, you kind of see, like, shots of Ricky with the paint in his head. Because they don't really move him, and it would kind of be silly to move him, because that creates more holes in their story that they're trying to create.
Yeah.
But you don't see gory, like, paint can smash in the face, boom, die.
Right.
You see Jeremy fully, like, choke and die on the tree, which is really graphic.
Yeah.
But
it's terrible. And how did Luke figure this out? How?
I don't know. And he's like, as he's doing it too, he's like, like, cool. Step 7 of my master plan is all done. And he drives the lawnmower, or snowblower, no, it's a lawnmower, I think, back into the shed. And he locks the shed. He's like, okay, cool. All plan done.
Now, on to the next.
I have my, my culprit right here. Done.
Yeah.
And while this is all going on, Garrett finally breaks and starts to have a change of heart because he realizes that they've gone too far.
They're killing people. Yeah.
They've gone too far way earlier. But for whatever reason, he's having his change of heart now. And maybe there's a redemption story for Garrett because he was being used against his will or something like that. I don't know. But he starts to free Ashley. And then, man, another kill in rapid succession because... Mm-hmm. Luke shoots Garrett with the shotgun, and he goes flying because, again, it is a 12-year-old shot with a shotgun.
Yeah.
And
it's so messed up.
It's so messed up, and he's just like, "You shot me." He's like, "Why'd you make me do that?" And I'm like, "Ugh."
Again, yelling at the TV at a psychopath. He legitimately thinks that he's like Kevin McAllister, but in his own like twisted psycho way. Definitely. Not in a good way.
Definitely. In this whole murder plot that he's crafting in his head. And for him, the final step of the plan before tying everything together is to kill Ashley.
Yeah.
That's how she has to go. Because... obviously, if Ashley was alive, she can explain everything that happened.
Yeah.
And he stabs her in the neck or in the side or whatever. He stabs her. And she appears to bleed out and die. And the whole scene has been set. Jeremy, the jealous ex-boyfriend, came to Luke's house, threatened Garrett and Luke. Or threatened Garrett, specifically.
Yeah.
Ended up shooting him. Smashing Ricky in the head in a paint can and killed him that way, and then stabbed Ashley, which then led to him hanging himself in a massive murder suicide plot. While, and it's explained early on that Luke, you know, very heavy sleeper, has to sleep through things and he sleepwalks as well. Goes upstairs and is appearing to be sleeping in his bed the entire time. Which, okay, and why, you know, why is this believable? Because in the beginning of the movie, they explain, since he sleepwalks, they put a pencil on top of his doorknob. So if the pencil, if the pencil falls, that knows that he's been outside of his bedroom. And yeah, as the parents are coming home, you know, he's tying everything together. He's got everything cleaned up, fingerprints, yada, yada, yada. Way too much stuff to know for a 12-year-old.
Yes.
He's sneaking on the awning of the house and, like, dodging, like, trying to hide behind, like, reindeer and making sure he can get into his bed and get everything seamed and situated. Like, he never left his bed, and something crazy just went ahead and happened downstairs.
Mm-hmm.
Which happens. And then his parents come home, and Virginia Madsen screams. Amazing. Great scream. I wish we could have kind of seen it from their perspective as they were walking in and kind of surveying things.
Yeah.
But all this is seen from Luke's perspective as he's faking
pretending
being asleep.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah. At this point, I'm like, this little shit got away with this. There is no way.
Oh, yeah. I was so angry by this point, especially because the way he, runs into bed and tries to pretend to sleep, he seems, happy. He's like, oh, here I go. I'm going to go pretend to sleep now. He's all excited as if, you're a kid and you're just pretending to sleep when your parents get home because you were up late watching TV, not killing people.
Yeah.
So creepy.
So creepy. Big sociopath. If you haven't figured that out already. But yeah, this is all going on, and Luke's like, "What happened, Mom? I've been asleep this entire time." You hear one of the paramedics downstairs, or I think it's paramedics.
Yeah,
is like, "This one's alive."
You're like, "Fuck yes!"
And surprise. It's Ashley. She was able to kind of close off her wound with the duct tape, which ended up coming in handy. And as she's being wheeled away on a gurney into an ambulance, Luke is staring at her from outside the window. And Ashley just gives him the biggest middle finger of all time, which is awesome. And it appears that Luke's whole big plan has been foiled, and there will be some big legal procedure to follow after this, because there's no big wrap up at that. It's just the middle finger. He's caught. His whole plan's over. But I assume there's a big legal procedure to come.
Yeah, you would hope so. It's an epic ending.
Of all proportions, for sure.
Yeah.
After the 89 minutes that you sit through of watching everything transpire, it's a very relieving ending. A big, big weight off his shoulders of there's no way this kid got away with it. It would have been a ballsy ending to do that, to just be like, yeah, he got away with it.
That's it. Yeah.
And I don't know how that would have sat with audiences.
Yeah, I would have just been annoyed and probably would have never watched it again, just because I don't want to put myself through that again.
Yeah, and I think you could do it, but it wouldn't go over well, I don't think.
Right, yeah, because the whole time not the whole time, but at least halfway through the movie, you're rooting against him, and you're like, this bitch better get caught. So if you just know he's not going to, I'm like, damn, I'm not going to watch that again.
Right. Though, a sequel does interest me, because there's so much more that goes on inside his head.
Yeah, I know.
And I don't think there's going to be a sequel to this movie ever. But yeah. I would totally watch a sequel to see if they could do another story like this between the two. Or it could just be some kind of big law movie. It's just them arguing in court for an hour and a half. But yeah, that's the end of the movie. Definitely not what you expect.
No. And honestly, I do want a sequel.
Yeah. I wonder how it would play out.
I know. He would be in Juwie during another Christmas time and do another plan. I don't know.
This is just Silent Night, Deadly Night. You're explaining.
I know.
Which is now your favorite Christmas movie.
I thought of it immediately when I started saying that. I'm like, it's another Christmas time. He's going to do something evil again.
Yeah. And is that now your favorite Christmas horror movie?
Silent Night. No, but I do really love Black Christmas, the original.
The original.
But Silent Night, Deadly Night is definitely a really good one.
Yeah, that movie was slated by communities, because it's how could you portray Santa Claus as a mass murderer?
Oh yeah, I remember we talked about that. And I'm oh my god, it's hilarious.
What was controversial back then? Santa Claus as a mass murderer.
Everything.
But yeah, so. A crazy ending to a crazy movie that has so many twists and turns. And again, this kid is so smart. It's so smart to an unbelievable extent, almost at some point. Like, the one example where I was like, okay, man, like, how far did you think this out? How far was this planned? Because during the first Home Invader sequence, Ashley's like, throw me my phone. And they were perfectly set up to where he was in the dining room or kitchen or something. And there's a fish tank in between them as she's standing in the living room.
Yeah.
And he throws the phone perfectly into the fish tank. And you're like, okay, well, cool. I could totally see a 12-year-old accidentally not throwing the phone correctly into the fish tank. But it's later revealed that he had the phone in a plastic bag so he could use the phone to then call somebody later on to sew the phone records tracked that Ashley called Jeremy or Ricky. Which is, like, do you think there's a part of him that was like, okay, this might go really, really wrong. I might have to kill some people tonight.
I don't know. I can't try to make sense of his mind because there's a lot going on in there. And like you said, he's very smart in an evil way. So it's crazy. I want to rewatch it again, just like, because I feel like every time you watch it, you're noticing new things, just because the first time you watch it, you are surprised by literally every scene.
Yeah. I feel like there's a lot in there that if you don't catch it the first time, going back and watching it the second time, you probably pick up on some things. And yeah, like, man. Just the whole idea of, like, Garrett trying to redeem himself is so funny to me. Because, like, I wonder in Luke's mind if he thought, okay, like, after he faked the home invasion, both steps of it.
Yeah.
He probably, like, there's nothing too major of a consequence that happens to him.
Yeah.
He gets in big trouble when he slaps Ashley and he falls down the stairs. Or she falls down the stairs and goes unconscious because she has a concussion. Which he says, like, hey, I probably have a concussion. I need to go to the hospital.
Right.
He's in big trouble at that point. Once he kills somebody...
Yeah.
It almost goes into, like, an unbelievable part for me for the movie. Like,
yeah.
Your suspension of disbelief needs to be a little high when watching this.
Yeah. Well, it reminds me, honestly, of Home Alone, just because there's no way a little kid's doing all that shit, but, like, you believe it when you're watching it just because it's a fun movie.
Right.
So this is just, like, the R-rated version of Home Alone in a twisted way.
Can I tell you the truth on something?
Yeah. Wait, you don't like Home Alone?
Worse.
Get out. You've never seen it.
Yeah.
Get out of town.
I've never seen Home Alone. I obviously know Kevin because it's like one of the most like popular.
Oh my god!
Pop culture.
Need to
things.
Watch it.
But like the scene, I'm assuming, like there's a paint can.
It doesn't kill him.
Is it Joe Pesci? No, it's not Joe Pesci.
I don't know if it's him or the other guy.
It's not Joe Pesci. I've never seen the movie, so I don't know.
Well, it's Joe Pesci and another guy. They're the two burglars, but I don't remember which one gets hit.
Gotcha.
But it just, like, gives them, like, a dent in their head, and that's about it.
Gotcha. And how old is Macaulay Culkin in that movie?
He has to be, like, under 10? Under 10?
Okay.
He's really young.
So this movie is saying between 10 and 12, you mature in a massive way if you're a sociopath.
I guess so.
Yeah. Yeah, I've never seen it. And there's a new one on Disney Plus, which I definitely won't watch.
Yeah, that doesn't look good. Definitely watch 1 and 2. Those are the best. The second one is in New York, so.
Yeah, there's the Trump Tower and.
Yeah.
I think Donald Trump was like edited out of the movie. He's not in the movie anymore, or something like
that. Yeah, well, he was in it, and I read that he only let them film at the hotel if he could be in it.
Okay.
So he has like one tiny line.
Wow. All right, well...
Anyway.
Sorry, I've never seen Home Alone.
Out of 10, better watch out.
Out of 10. It's a fun watch.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say it's a 5. I was like, damn.
Oh, no.
I heard...
Man. I'm feeling like 7.
That's what I'm thinking.
But like... At a point, I might want to give it an 8 just solely for how good everyone is in this movie. Like, Olivia DeJonge is great. Levi Miller, playing Mr. Shithead, is great.
So good.
Ed Oxenbold as Garrett is amazing. Mm-hmm. You know, and those are like the three main characters we focus on.
Yeah.
You know, we're not really with Ricky, Jeremy, or Luke's parents.
Mom and dad, yeah.
All that often. But those three together had like really good on-screen chemistry together. So 7.5.
Yeah, that's fair.
I hate giving out 0.5s.
I know. I think I'm going to stick with 7. That was my first gut reaction. So 7 it is.
Yeah, and definitely watch it if you haven't seen it. If you listen to our review now, you kind of know everything that happens. But if you wanted to listen to the review and then make your decision of whether or not you wanted to watch it, mm-hmm. totally also fair. And I think you'll still get the same enjoyment out of it, seeing Levi Miller, Olivia DeJonge, and Ed Oxenbold play these characters, because mm-hmm. they do such a good job. And like, massive credit to Chris Peckover for directing this film and getting the most out of everybody, because I believe it's a $3 million budget, and according to Wikipedia, the box office, it only did $188,000, which is a shame, because I think this movie got more marketing behind it. It would have done really well, because it is a fun watch. For it's short. It doesn't take up too much of your time. Doesn't make you seem like, you know, like a fool if you're not paying attention.
Yeah.
Doesn't make you think too hard. Like Tenet or something, I guess.
Right. I know. It's interesting that it's billed as a psychological horror, because I don't think it's psychological just in the fact that the people are fucked up, but it doesn't make you think that hard.
Yeah, it's definitely like a dark comedy horror film.
Yeah.
It's not like, ha ha ha, so funny all the time, but there's definitely some comedic elements that get sprinkled in throughout, which make it enjoyable and a little bit of a relief to the unbelievable nature of what is actually going on in the film.
Yeah, there's a good balance.
Right. But yeah, 7.5, 7.
Yeah,
I'll give it an 8, screw it. it's like I'm Pocket. On the fence. Yeah, it's that good. In my opinion,
it is really good. It is really good. So anyone listening, let us know what you think about Better Watch Out, and let us know what your favorite Christmas horror movies are. What do you watch every year? What are some underrated ones, or maybe some that not a lot of people know about? Definitely let us know. You can tweet at us and give us your thoughts. My Twitter handle is at Natalie Zamora with 2 A's at the end, and then Max is at Odd Slice. We'll be back next week with more, wrapping up the end of the year and talking about all of our favorite horror titles of 2021. And then we'll be close into 2022. So thanks for sticking around with us into a new year. Have a happy holiday, and we'll see you soon.